Lord will come to you by your blood. And you open the new and living way.
Okay, okay, it's running, it's running, it's running.
You receive mercy, it's running.
Okay.
For a timely help to anoint this time and anoint your precious word. We love you and we love your word. In your precious name we pray. This morning, very precious portion of the Bible. In the past, when I read this portion, but now this morning standing before you, I have no questions. This portion is about Adam and Eve.
I think it's supposed to start
today. Yeah, I know.
It mentioned that God said, you know, it is not good for the man to be alone.
Okay. Oh, he's sitting with the brothers over there.
Who?
Moses.
Yeah.
Then I mentioned
you should give
in the past when I read this
Jason
portion,
Jason is here.
Oh, okay.
Home meeting.
God said,
yeah,
we have a
Jason
to be alone.
Said she doesn't know
what
happened.
So
I have to speak to
why God just, you know, make the man and the woman at the same time.
No, Sean is Chinese or English?
Chinese, but I have to double check with them because that's the only home you know.
There is a young people on Wednesday, but they move around.
Oh, okay, right.
And Solomon is going to one of them, right?
Can you send Jason there?
Because if it's English, if not, then send it to him for English. I think Jason, they will take care of it. But we have
so I had a question for a long time. But this morning, thank you for the opening of the word.
Can you hear?
Brother Nee and Brother Lee, that I have no questions.
No, it's not home. How can we eliminate
so
that?
I want also, you know, to share with you.
There is a slight
home. This is based on the word. It's not based on any man speaking. So maybe we can, you know,
I dropped down the mic and speakerphone.
And number 10 also, maybe.
You know, this portion,
number 10?
His mic.
End of the Bible.
Yeah, I dropped down.
Okay.
Begins with the marriage and ends with the marriage. And in between, still marriage. In the Old Testament, we read the verses this past week. God said, I'm your husband. Speaking to the children of Israel. Speaking to God's Old Testament people. In the New Testament, it's the same.
Adam and Eve.
At the end of the Bible, it's the same. So let's read the verses in Revelation. Let's read together. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Is a type of Christ, but not Adam, but because he's the Adam and Eve. That's why. It's Eve a type of Christ, but not Adam.
Adam and Eve, even at the end of the Bible,
maybe Adam and Eve a type of Christ.
Right.
Eve is
the
type of Christ. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak with regard to Christ and the church. In the context, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul was speaking about husband and wife, telling the husband love his wife, and telling the wife to submit to the husband. But a sentence injected, this mystery is great. You know, we have a lot of husband and wife here, including me. And are you a mystery? I mean, husband and wife? I don't think, you know, it's a mystery.
Because
it's physical persons. The husband and the wife, the two will be joined.
The loving.
And the two will be one flesh.
This is open.
By the way, this word is quoted, probably just read in Genesis. So Paul is quoting Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
It should be my family that I am. Not me, my parents. But my parents were working,
this
so I'm like.
Is great. But I speak
you don't have to speak
with
it, just, you can read it and then say a sentence or two about this and then say the verses.
To twice and the church.
But he was talking a lot about
therefore,
it. Yeah, it's a part.
Husband and wife. This type,
you know, apart
whatever you have on the note, just read
it's
that.
A great mystery.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It's, it should be okay.
Does it really?
I'm so organized.
Whoever is sitting,
a type
no
of
idea
Christ and the church.
But anyway, I just stopped here for this
cover.
For this poem.
Only the elders say no.
Rather than
in addition,
and
if
type
in
of
Christ,
Christ
if
you
speak
as head of the church, it's missing. I think they were like,
is
because of Adam, if he did not put Adam, then Eve is
before, not after. I
oh, intro, right?
Book on the church.
That's new man of Brother Robert. I'm talking about the five aspects, the factors of natural life.
And gave him to be head over
B and C. But C is including the five factors. But B is just not much. So like read B and then read two sentences and
reveal to us that the church is the body of Christ. In the past, I always thought it's a.
Because
it's a
the way he put it,
you know,
the church is the body of Christ.
Christ is the head,
so.
The church is the body.
So,
but the verse didn't say that. The verse said, the church, which is
the body of
his body. Then how do you explain? The church is Christ's body.
Yeah. Very nice.
Not as an illustration.
Do you have to cut them?
Yeah.
So
at
have
least
to cut
twice.
Them to put them in
we all know. Mm-hmm.
So this is the 9 and 10 for
Christ
today. Christ so
Jesus.
It's done.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus is Jehovah.
This is the Master.
Jesus is Jehovah.
So this is
there
the one
salvation.
That I... That will be put out on Friday.
They don't want to see
I have the other master, I don't know where it is.
involve a kind of process. How that the church is produced to be the body of Christ and to be the wife of Christ. Let's read also Ephesians 5:29. You know, we read Ephesians 5:31 and 32. Let's read together. For no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church. He also referring to the church is the body of Christ. And nobody hates his own body. You know, I think everybody this morning, normally you eat your breakfast. Why? You want to take care of your body. So your body can take care of you. And Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. Because the church is his body. Okay. I just want the ladies groundwork. So we can spend a little time to see how, you know, when God said it's not good for man to be alone, in fact, God is speaking something about himself. It's not good for God to be alone. And, but he's saying it's not good for Adam to be alone. It's kind of, you know, sometimes we, you know, sometimes I'm at the sand and when we're talking and later on, he asked me, are you hungry? I didn't realize, I thought, I'm not hungry. But eventually I realized he is hungry. But I'm hungry. If I get the point, then if he's in my house, I should provide him something. In a sense, God is doing the same thing. That's why the following books, we don't have time to go to, you know, in the Morning Watch verses sheet, it mentions all the verses in the Old Testament concerning this point. But I just want to spend a little time that we can go through some of the verses. It reveals just how he provided Adam with a wife, Eve. He's doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing. Okay, we can, you know, I put some of the verses we read in the beginning. Everybody, we read in the beginning again. Then I match some verses in the Bible to show that this very God, he was created Adam and saying that it's not good for Adam to be alone, then he start preparing a wife for Adam. Okay, that's really, again, Genesis 2, 19 and 20. And Jehovah God formed from the ground every animal of the field and every bird of heaven and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called any living animal, that was his name. And the man gave names to all. I couldn't understand these two verses. You know, God says it's not good for men to be alone. Why he bother animals? Right? These two verses are very crucial. Because Adam, God created him, a living soul, you know, with a physical body out of the dust of the ground, and with the spirit from the breath of God, breath of life from God. And this living soul, he has mind, he has emotion, and his will. And he sees, you know, God just brought all the animals in front of him, and he gave names. Sometimes, you know, if you don't have the best, you take the second best, right? But Adam, you know, didn't see any match him. So he just gave the name, go. Gave the name and go. So everything he paraded and he passed in front of him, he didn't make the choice. And that was the right choice.
Isabella didn't come to the meeting today. No?
He didn't choose a
I didn't notice.
You know, big and tall, you know, nice looking. Okay. He didn't say, this is my wife. No, he didn't do that. This is very significant because later on we'll see what matches Adam comes out of Adam. And today, what matches Christ has to come out of Christ.
So I should tell Solomon to introduce him to Solomon.
These two verses,
so at least ask Solomon to take care of
him.
Tell him he's not Savior.
Match of Adam.
Maybe they have a burden
what
to preach the gospel.
Not Adam.
Deal with Marvin. Marvin.
Not Adam's counterpart. So this is very significant.
The Candia?
No.
Actually,
these two verses
also go to Dennis
are for us today.
Yeah. My brother and Marvin is also.
So what?
Your brother did.
So what should God do?
Oh, they go to the home meeting, right?
Yeah.
You should start going to home meeting because you're going to college already.
That's we are.
Yeah, I'm slowly. I did. I went there before.
And
not slowly.
Jumping.
And tabernacled among us.
If you go slowly, you might be
there. And we beheld his glory. Glory as of an only begotten from the Father. Full of grace and reality. Romans 4:5-14.
Yeah, but let me just
Oh,
In other words, Adam is the type of Christ. The type is just like a picture. Adam is a picture. The reality of the picture is a living person. So Adam is a picture. Who is the reality of Adam? Christ. Christ is the real person. So God uses Adam, he created, as a type to show that Christ is the real person. So in order to have a wife.
No, that's a virtual machine.
For himself.
It's like other PCs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Inside God that one day
it's a virtual machine.
Became a man.
It's not a physical
himself.
PC. It's a virtual PC.
So this Christ, I mentioned that Christ is Jesus. Jesus is Christ. And this Jesus is Jehovah the Savior, Jehovah the Salvation. And this Jesus is God becoming a man. Because in John 1:14, it's very clear, and the Word became flesh. And in John 1:1, it mentioned, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, the Word became flesh means God became a man. God became a man. Okay, let's read on Genesis 2:21. Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. In order to have Eve to match Adam, and Adam didn't find his counterpart in all the living creatures, animals, birds, you know. So God put Adam to sleep and took a rib. And this is the picture of Christ. Let's read the verses in John 1:29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John 12:24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, he abides alone. But if he dies, he bears much fruit."
One message, right?
And also John 19:34. "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water."
Yes, one message for today. Because
in the test, I didn't pay attention. I thought, you know, the Lord just
told me about the side. Like
okay. And took out the
rib. But I don't see you coming to...
Did you have
children? Yeah.
I've been coming all the time.
But how come I didn't see you?
I'm testing today.
But anyway, the Bible
says so. I'm getting tested.
If you pay attention that when the rib was taken out, it didn't mention there was blood. You know, we have someone saying in the medical field, working in the medical field, if you take the rib out of a person, you know, a lot of things happen, you know. The blood, you know, you have to keep the, you know, transfusion going. If anything, you know, the person is losing too much blood. But in Genesis, it didn't mention blood. Because in Genesis 2, sin did not enter. Man's fall was in Genesis 3. But in the verses we read in John 19:34, imagine when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, you know, according to Jewish custom, they don't want to keep the person, there was a Sabbath day. They don't want to keep the person, you know, on the cross. So they want to make sure the person would die. So they when they were to break the bones of those who were crucified, so they can die faster. The two robbers, they broke their bones. But when they came to the Lord Jesus died already. So the soldier just want to make sure. So use the spear, pierced his side. And imagine how come came out blood and water. So blood is mentioned. You know, when the Lord Jesus took the rib out of Adam, you may say that was the first surgery, you know, to do something. But there was a bloodless. I think the medical field is learning this technique, you know. If a person doesn't lose blood, and it's easier to heal, right? And they are, I don't know if it's correct or not, they try to put the person's temperature down so the blood doesn't flow that fast, or, you know, they cannot, if the blood doesn't flow, then they can finish the operation, then no, no. Will be very good.
That's awesome.
But anyway, when the Lord took the rib out of Adam, there was no blood mentioned. But when the Lord was crucified on the cross, and the soldier pierced the Lord's side, blood came. That was because man has fallen, and there's a need of shedding of blood. That's why in John 1:29, he mentioned the Lord Jesus, when John was introducing the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You know, the Old Testament, people, God's people use lamb as a sacrifice. You know, for sin offering, for trespass offering, there's the need of shedding blood, shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So for us, you know, we sing some of the hymns, you know, God sent his son to die for us, to shed his blood, that we may have the forgiveness. So the Lord Jesus, not only is God became a man, he also lived a life, eventually died on the cross. You know, we always think, you know, he died for our sin, you know, but in God's eyes, it's more than just cleanse us. God has something in view when the Lord Jesus came. No. The Bible also says, the Lord Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, you know, because the Lord Jesus was dying for a cause, and that cause is to gain his bride. So we, on one hand, we enjoy the forgiveness of our sins, but on the other hand, we should have the Lord's view. The Lord wants to gain his bride, and we all are part of the bride, because we are part of the church. So we see these verses, that there was a shedding of blood, but there is also another aspect concerning the Lord's death on the cross. That is the verse we read in John 12:24. The Lord mentioned before he was crucified, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. So if it dies, it brings forth many grains. So this aspect has no blood involved. But when it doesn't have blood, that's for the releasing of the life. So the releasing aspect of the Lord's death on the cross is the picture of what God did to Adam, to take out the rib out of his side. Life builds up the church, and that rib was used to build up Eve. So we see that the death of Christ has both the cleansing aspect, the shedding of the blood, also the life aspect for the impartation of life.
Timothy did not get
this morning we are sitting here, so, and not only our sins are forgiven, but at the same time, we have the divine life. The divine life has been imparted into us. and we all are part of the bride.
Hell?
It's glory. Praise
no,
the Lord.
Hell. No, not heaven.
Okay, let's read up in Genesis 20.
What's his name?
22.
What's his last name?
And Jehovah God filled the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man.
He's in Stony Brook.
Okay, let's read Matthew 16:18.
Oh, no, I don't know.
So say to Jesus that you
I don't
are
know
people.
If it's Stony Brook.
Upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Oh,
Andrew.
Wait.
You know, the translation.
Does he go to Brother Dennis' home?
Build a woman.
The same home meeting.
When I went there, I didn't
make
see
a
him.
Okay. In Chinese, it's also the same.
Solomon, Marvin, Philip.
So
David Lee.
David Lee.
Now he goes, I think, because he has time.
So you read King James or other versions.
Okay.
So you don't realize. This woman
introduce
Eve
Marvin, no, Simon,
is
builder.
That's why the Lord Jesus, when he came,
and Sarah,
when he asked
Sarah
Peter,
foolish.
Who did you say that I am?
Oh, same.
You are the Christ.
So
right away, the Lord said,
rotate.
I also say to you,
this is rotating.
I really don't. Yeah, it does rotate.
Peter needs to know Jesus is the Christ.
Sarah Kwan.
That's only half.
So Korean sister.
The other half is. The Lord will build
I think sometimes
his church.
Solomon,
okay.
Probably. I
that means
think so.
God, once again, Christ as the head.
Oh, Sister
also
Leah?
The church
right.
As
I
the
don't
body.
Know about that.
God wants to have Christ as the bridegroom. God also
I don't know the cycle, but I know it's changing all the time.
Bride for Christ.
Yeah.
You know,
no, five
has,
or four?
Two aspects. One is, of course, there are many aspects, but I just want to mention the most two most important aspects. That is the church to God.
Well,
is
I
the
could
house
text it right
God.
Now.
No,
and
brother.
The church to Christ is the bride
sitting
of Christ.
Front. It is
supported the body of
yes.
You know, these two things is both from the beginning, in the beginning, and also at the end of the Bible. You know, right now we are in the Genesis 20. The most important vision in Genesis is the vision what Jacob saw concerning the house of God concerning Bethel. And that governs all the rest. Any other visions mentioned in the Bible is governed by that vision. And at the end of the Bible is also the same. You know, the New Jerusalem is the tabernacle of God with man. And the New Jerusalem is also the temple of God. As the tabernacle of God is for God's dwelling. As the temple of God, imagine the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple. That is for man's dwelling. So God is seeking a dwelling place. And this dwelling place is for God and is also for man. You know, in the church, you know, we enjoy very much. We enjoy the Lord's table. You know why? Because God is here. God is at rest. And we are, when God is at rest, you are at rest.
Somebody to introduce it to, at least for the basic. So at least we are doing.
Okay, so the Lord is building up his church. Just like the Lord used.
So who is
Adam's
in that
rib,
one?
Build that woman,
Ben or just Adam. Brother Dennis?
Who's serving brother?
Dennis?
Okay, let's read up Genesis 2:23. And the man said.
How long did they finish their meeting?
This one shall be called
usually like 9:30 or 10.
They eat dinner.
Yeah.
And they have singing.
Therefore, a man
finish around 10 to 10:30.
Okay, okay, that's good. Yeah.
Or sometimes 11, but some saints go out like in the middle.
So this shows
okay.
That Adam, when he saw Eve, right away he recognized.
Because he lives where he saw some, everybody lives now. In the
this
east side,
is my
east of Long
all east the
of
rest.
He is the only one west of Queens.
Right.
So today, Only the church is Christ's wife, Christ's counterpart. So eventually, Adam and Eve, they live a marriage life. And Christ in the church is also. You know, with Adam and Eve, it's a two become one flesh. But with us, let's read 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So today, we are one spirit with the Lord.
Joseph.
Yes. So when we are in our spirit, the Lord is with us. So we all need to be strengthened. Make his home.
I keep enjoying computer science.
This truly is wonderful. Let's read the verses at the end of the Bible. Revelation mentioned that just like Adam and Eve, the couple, and at end of the Bible also mentioned that there'll be another real wife. Ken. That's voice and exalt, and let us give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are they who are called to the marriage dinner of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So here, the real husband is unveiled. The real husband is the Lamb. It's just Christ. Okay, so we can finish our reading. Revelation 21:9. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the
wine. Brother James is looking at the Bible. Land. He might say, share something. So we should make ready.
Did
so
they come again, Santa?
Yes.
The bride.
He is getting ready also.
Eventually was to presented.
To support,
was ready.
Add more additional words.
Let's read Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's good enough. This verse shows that Adam and Eve, when they, you may say, got married. So they continue a marriage life. In Revelation 22:17, also, that's another real picture. Let's read that verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come.
Yeah,
let him who wills take the water of life freely. You know, in the beginning of Revelation, he mentioned the Spirit speaking to the church, right? So here the speaking, is the Spirit speaking or the bride speaking?
I graduated already.
I think it's a parallel.
I'm afraid the Spirit of the and the bride.
So it shows at the end, whatever the speaks, the bride speaks. So the bride is one with the Spirit. The Spirit is the bridegroom, and the bride is the wife. So in at the end of the Bible, you know, just like Adam and Eve, they are one flesh, they are one. But now, the Spirit and the bride, they are one. Isn't that wonderful? Are we one with the Lord? Amen, that is really wonderful. But I think a lot of times in our daily living, we may not be one with the Lord. But in the church, you know, I think we all like to be one with the Lord. He's our real husband. We like to be one with him. Whatever he says, we say amen.
Yes.
At the end, you know, God has done everything, right? He became a man, he lived a life, he died on the cross, to cleanse us, to release his life, to impart himself into us. God has done everything for us by speaking to us as the Spirit. But what should we do? Our part, you know, the Bible at the end said, the bride has made herself ready. So we need to make ourselves ready. How should we make ourselves ready? My realization is following verses. Let's read it together. Jehovah God formed man with the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In fact, we don't need to read about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We just need to read the tree of life. I think we should realize that all of us, including me and you, we are nothing. Because we are just dust of the ground. And the animals are the same. We die, we turn to the dust. But today, God made us in his image, according to his likeness, and committed to us dominion, so we can represent him. So everything is God's doing. Even right now, sitting here, I'm standing here, it's God's mercy, you know. I am no different from the rest, human beings. But God has chosen us. God has redeemed us. God has saved us. God has imparted his life into us. So we need to know God's intention. We need to know God's desire. That intention, that desire was in the very beginning. God made us, but God wants us to receive his life. That's why he put man in front of the tree of life. He wants us to daily receive him as food, so he can constitute us. Let's read also Genesis 2:11. The name of the first river, you know, is Pishon. It is the one that goes around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. I thought there were some other verses afterwards. I think he also mentioned in that river there was also medallions, a kind of a pearl-like from the vegetable-like kind of resin. And also there were onyx stones, you know. This is the portion we read last week. It shows that God's desire is that we human beings, by receiving him, by enjoying him as our food, the tree of life, as our drink, the river of water of life, that we may become, you know, the dusty man may become precious material. You know, to build a woman, we may not understand how a rib can build a woman, but we can understand. To build something, to build a building, you need materials. You know, in the New Jerusalem is built up with gold, with precious stone, with pearls. So today, I know, many saints now, you know, every day we spend a little time in the Word, we enjoy a portion of the messages and the opening words concerning the God's Word, we, by being nourished, we are being transformed, you know. Just like the river goes through, and there was a material produced. In ourselves, we are just dust. But by God's transformation, we can become precious materials. Let's read 2 Corinthians.
Jeremiah.
Okay, let's read Jeremiah first. Jeremiah 32:33. Return, O apostate children, I will heal you of your apostasy. Now we come to you, for you are Jehovah our God. Surely in vain can we hope for anything.
He has Jeremiah, right?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 3:20.
He read it as 32 and 33. It's
3:22. Yeah, actually 22:23.
In fact, I was thinking another verse concerning, you know, we are not consumed because of his compassion. Mm. And his compassions are new every morning, you know. Today we are still here.
Maybe he wrote it down wrong.
It's because of God's mercy. So we just need to come to him every morning and join him as our portion, and by receiving more his life, and then we can be transformed into precious material for his building.
Is it?
You know, right now we are in the Genesis training, the third time. The last portion of Genesis is concerning Jacob, you know, and Joseph. And these two are, in fact, a person, one person. We all know Jacob is a heel holder.
You know, he said, what did he say?
32.
But when he was saying, it's not 2:22, 23 also.
He's speaking in the beginning, you know, when
it's three.
My brother and Hamkin came back, hungry, and he was cooking something, and his brother asked for it, and he made a deal. Give me your birthright, and I give you the food. So that was his speaking. And his brother despised the birthright, sold with one bowl of the soup. And later on, again, when his father was old, then he wants to bless his son. And of course, the blessing goes to the birthright, the firstborn. And Jacob pretended that he was Esau. And he cheated his father, and he got the blessing. What kind of person is Jacob, right? And I said, you know, such a person, God will say, God will put him aside, but God didn't put him aside. Such a person, eventually, Jacob's name will change to Israel. Even God, one of his titles, God's title, is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Such a person eventually was changed. The end of the Bible, the end of Genesis, you know, Genesis has 50 chapters. In chapter 49, Jacob, he was blessing his son, you know. At the end of the Jacob life, he was blessing Pharaoh. And he was blessing Joseph, two sons. And he was blessing
his
12 sons.
He went out to eat.
It's a totally different person. Instead of going to Egypt and try to
survive,
try to get something out of the rich Egypt, you know, from Pharaoh. He blessed parents. Jacob, in fact, is a picture of you, and Jacob is a picture of me.
Oh, that's cool.
We are not better than Jacob.
Sometimes
but God has chosen us. God has chosen Jacob. And God did a work in Jacob. And God is doing a work in every one of us.
Oh, if it's information,
so I just feel
that's
that,
a cold
you know, every morning when you come to the Word, you contact the Lord in the Word, you pray to Him, you read a portion of the
it's very long.
The,
mine
you know,
too.
The Word or the footnotes or
I thought every time they update this when you are charging.
You have been blessed.
Luckily, I fully charged this morning. It wants me to update, but it's 100%, so I will get charged.
Okay.
The riches of the triune God. You know, Jacob's blessing of his sons is his prophesied with blessing. You know, that was his word. was not, you know, Jacob.
But he did not bless all 12.
Jacob was just speaking.
Well, he didn't bless
12. The speaking was
no,
a blessing.
No, some of that. Yeah, some of the bad. It's not a blessing. I think that it's more
and the Bible
prophesying
says,
than blessing.
He who prophesies builds up the church. So today, all of us, we are blessed people. And we should be persons. Also, blessing others.
Steve Chu came to me this time. You say good morning to me. I don't say good morning.
Okay, I'll stop.
Oh, yeah, why?
And I think I did my part.
He said good morning.
I enjoy the blessing.
No,
I
he won't say good morning.
Oh,
he won't say good evening to me on Friday.
Yeah, you need to bless others.
That means I have to come
by
on Friday.
With blessing,
I was
build up the church.
This Friday, I did
to build up the church,
I was so
in Genesis picture, is build up Eve. In the New Testament, it's build up the church. And it's also the preparation of the bride. So today, our Christ is waiting for the bride. At the end of Revelation, he mentioned, the bride has made herself ready. The bride is you. The bride is me. We all are part of the bride. So we need to make ourselves ready so Christ can gain his bride. And today is very critical to make ourselves ready. Just come to the Lord and to enjoy his blessing. Blessing, in fact, is just God himself. It's not something, you know, God is giving out of his pocket. No. It's just God himself. You know, when we in the morning we enjoy the Lord, that is a real blessing. So when we come together, we just need to minister the Lord to one another and bless one another. Praise the Lord, we are blessed people. May the Lord continue to bless every one of us, that we may be a part of the bride, and he may gain his bride for his satisfaction. Amen. I'll stop here, and then we can continue our enjoyment and minister and bless others.
Brother Ed is coming to share.
Not yet.
Oh, his microphone. Oh, I'm going to take it out. Yeah. Okay.
Don't worry. I can't speak as long as he does nowadays. But I asked him to squeeze me in because I have heard him since last Lord's Day. Last Lord's Day, I was in the hospital and a number of saints visited me. That was so sweet. I really enjoyed that.
I did not.
And they all seemed happy.
That was with my friends.
Smiling. And one of them said, you know what? I have good news. What good news? The prophesying today was very good. And you know, Brother James can testify. We brothers have been burdened for the prophesying for a long time. Actually, when we started the prophesying section, principally, mainly, the concern was for flushing, that the saints would be prepared. But we also realized the other languages also needed to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he's about
now
to leave.
That the languages Jason? Are doing well.
No, Jason, right.
But sometimes in the English-speaking side,
oh, no.
There's someone who speaks a little longer. And that is not so helpful. You know, Tim read Matthew 16:18. So I would like to start from there. Matthew 16:18. Let's read it together. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, Against it. Very good. This is the greatest promise in the Bible. I will build my church. That's what the Lord said. Okay. He will build his church. How? Anybody has any idea?
Prophesying.
Amen! That's right. It doesn't mean that the Lord builds up the church directly, but through the saints. So, since we got that far, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 about prophesying. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, let's read it together. Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. Here we see how Paul emphasizes immediately when he comes to the matter of gifts that you may prophesy. So we see here very clearly that for Paul, prophesying was special. And of course we know prophesying in the New Testament mainly doesn't mean predicting. It means to speak for God, to speak for God, to present Christ, to minister Christ, and therefore, of course, minister life. So this is what we need. Then in verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. My goodness, do you realize when we minister Christ, In our prophesying, it says, speaks building up. There it is. When we prophesy, we build up the church. And encouragement and consolation. Isn't that sweet? And we ever thought that prophesying was like this? Building up, encouragement, and consolation.
We did that, I have one that for the...
Then in verse 4, he makes a comparison. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but he who prophesies builds up the church.
Winter training? Okay. Did I save a copy?
So here is very clear. He who prophesies builds up the church. So the point is, let's go to verse 26. Then brothers, whenever you come together, each one has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Well, you might say,
it's almost
I don't have a psalm, I don't have a teaching, I don't have a revelation, I don't have a tongue, I don't have an interpretation. But this is this is not a complete list. The main thing here is, whenever you come together, each one
jet washer. You might break it.
What does that mean? That means that if we prepare before the Lord, we have
to wipe it with disinfectant.
And after all, this is why we're here for, to build up the church.
Everything ready?
So,
he's getting ready.
It is up to us. It is up to us. You know, when I first thought last Lord's Day about asking concerning your prophesying. I thought I would say, brothers and sisters, we need to be short and to the point, to afford others the opportunity, so that others can also speak.
There, it'll soak up, and then next time it's too late for that. It'll be hard as a rock.
What do I mean by that? We have been praying. For what? For the Lord to strengthen the church, right? Every Tuesday night, we pray for the Lord to strengthen the church. There may be many aspects, but one aspect is the matter of prophesying.
Yeah, there is a cover, you slip the cover up, you wash it in the plastic
cover.
But the plastic on the side, you wipe it down with disinfectant. I think that's
it. If you prepare and then,
but you vacuum
first,
because you know, sometimes kids, all these food crumbs is all good. Yeah,
what could be more glorious? What could
but
be more glorious? To be a co-worker with God Himself.
Yeah, the one with whom you have to be careful because so you don't want it dried up and cracked.
Now comes the opportunity.
So you don't want to put it in the heater.
So I would encourage
so
all of you
to let it dry.
Short.
Or you could tumble dry, you know, cool air tumble dry. Use that one.
So that
because you don't want, because if it's too hot, it will shrink. And
then
if you stretch, it will crack.
Now it's up to you.
Okay, it's done.
Of course. This afternoon, we have the continuation of the Genesis training at 2 p.m. Because we started on Friday morning, the rest of the time, in other words, Monday through Friday, there will be only one message. Today, there will only be one message. And the last two messages on Saturday. Why Saturday? We usually finish on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day, the college young people go to the conference. And every time they miss the last two messages, this time they will not. So remember, this afternoon the training is open, you can come. Praise the Lord. So now is the time for you. Oh, wonderful!
Is he going to speak?
Yeah. I told you he's going to speak because I saw him. I don't know.
You notice that Timothy actually began by giving us this particular point. I want to put it in this way. It was his journey of faith. He mentioned that in the past he had a question, but now he does not have this question. And he said, I hope you are convinced. Now, after he's spoken for 40 minutes, I don't know whether you are convinced or not. So I think this is somewhat related to the prophesying. don't say something you do not agree, okay? Now, my point is this. Timothy said he had this question. That was that when, since God said in Genesis chapter 2, it was not good for the man to be alone, I will make a helper to be his counterpart. And since God said that, so why didn't God make Adam and Eve together in one swoop? I mean, he had that question before.
Adam and Eve?
This is no longer a question. So I think he was giving us his journey of faith, how that led him from this question to this no longer be a question. So I think that before you prophesy, whether short or long, I think you first, you need to answer this question first. Was I convinced? let me put it in this way. It was not a question to me before, so I wasn't sitting here convinced by him. But I thought that he made this point, which I thought was very important. That is, yes, God, of course, had intended to create it a corporate man. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, which we mentioned so many times, God said, let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them, right? And in verse 27, in his image, he made the man male and female. He made it according to his image. And so, and God said
male
in verse 28,
and
God blessed them, saying, be multiplied and fill the earth. So clearly, when God created man, God had full intention to create a corporate man for the extension in time and for the expansion in space. So therefore, that was in creating Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathing to his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul, is only the first step. Okay? And you must see that in the process God created man is a two-step process. And that is the reason why it's no longer a question. Okay? If you consider in our narrow or natural or limited understanding, we think if we are going to create man, a couple, then we will do it together. But in God's creation, God's creating man, he did not do it in that way, because it is a type of what he's going to do in building up the church. So I hope that by going through all these verses that you have seen, starting with Genesis 1 and 2, ending with Revelation chapter 21 and 22, everything that is in between is related to the second step, which is for the building. And you know, he mentioned about this bloodless operation. It's difficult for us to understand, but yes, indeed, Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 is a bloodless operation. Okay. So I hope that you understand that all that he said, actually, even using John chapter 19, that when the soldier pierced his side, out came blood and water. And of course, we know blood is for redemption and water is for life. So, therefore, you see, you have to see it in all this whole picture, why his question was answered. And he said that, and I hope you pay attention to it. What he said was that he was convinced, not because of what man said, he was convinced because of what Bible says. And he used all these verses to prove that point. What God created man with a purpose is a two-step process. Okay? So I hope when you are going to share, yes, you don't need to repeat the whole message, it'll be difficult to put all the verses, but I think any particular point that touched you, I think that we have to have that in view. We have both Genesis chapter 2 and also Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. You know, we have heard this, we have said this many, many times, that the most important chapters are the first two chapters and the last two chapters in the Bible, and everything in between. Everything in between is just for that. So, and I think that we need to see that. So, I hope this will help our so-called prophesying. Prophesying is for the building up. In other words, even when you talk about John 19, about the blood and the water, you see the view. You must see that the purpose is for the building. Redemption is for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay. So I hope what Tim's burden, what he's trying to bring out this morning with this question and ending up with no question, and I hope that we'll all be convinced, not by what he said, And I hope all this prophesying, all the sharing, will bring out any one particular point. I mean, nobody can repeat that message again. We don't have the time. But I hope that this really is the principle for prophesying. For the building up. Prophesying for building up is not repeat something, but prophesying is something that we are touched by the word of God. And just as our brother was touched.
Guess what is going to happen next Lord's Day? Flushing will be here. Mayawanti! So now is the time for you to pray and for those going to the language meetings to do so, and then it's your turn to share. Let's pray.
Okay, stop.
Mayawanti. You heard that, William?
Yeah.
No problem.